Hi there, this is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God. You know, if we were to give followers of Jesus who live today a choice between two options, option number one, having things the way they are today, that is with the Lord Jesus in heaven and the Holy Spirit here on earth doing the work of God, and option number two, having the Lord Jesus personally back here on earth, walking with us, talking with us, eating and drinking and sleeping with us, which option do you think most followers of Jesus would choose? Well, I've been taking people to Israel since 1987, have taken well over 1,000 people with me. And one of the things I've noticed is that what makes it so meaningful and so special and so powerful when you visit Israel is that sense that people get that you're walking where Jesus walked, and you're praying where Jesus prayed, and you're standing where Jesus stood. And in light of my experience from taking people to Israel, I suspect most people, most followers of Christ, would choose option number two. They'd say, man, I'd love to have Jesus back here walking around with me. That'd be so awesome. Well, listen to what Jesus said. He said, John 16:7, it is for your good that I am going away. For if I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. Jesus made it clear that option number one, with Him in heaven and with the Spirit of God here on this earth doing the work of God, that this is actually our best option, which means that the Holy Spirit must be in the business of doing some incredible and awesome things in our world. Now, we're going to talk today about that, about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, all of which grows out of an incident in the life of the Apostle Paul. So let's look at what happened with Paul, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about this. A little bit of background. Remember, the Apostle Paul has just finished his second missionary journey. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening the disciples. The Bible says after Paul was here in Antioch in Syria for a couple of months, he decided to go back into the southern underbelly of Turkey, the provinces of Galatia and Phrygia in the Roman Empire, and revisit all of the cities that he had visited on his first missionary journey. Cities like Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Perga. And then he's working his way through, notice, all the way over to the western coast, to the city of Ephesus. Verse 1 of chapter 19. So Paul took the road through the interior of Asia Minor, and he arrived at Ephesus. Here's Ephesus on the western coast. Here are all the other cities he went through. And Ephesus was the capital of this province, making it the second most influential city in all the Roman Empire. Paul had wanted to go to Ephesus for many years and minister, but the timing of God had never been right. Here in Acts 19, the timing of God is right, and Paul is actually going to spend 2 full years here in Ephesus, the longest time that he ever spends in any one city on all 4 of his missionary journeys. So critical and strategic was this city. Now, while he's in Ephesus, look what happens when he arrives. Verse 1 continues. And there in Ephesus, Paul found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no. We didn't even know that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul said, well, then what baptism did you receive? And they said, John the Baptist's baptism. Now, the Apostle Paul meets this group of disciples here, the Bible says, who have believed, the Bible says, and been baptized, and yet they've never heard of the Holy Spirit. And as we're going to see in a minute, the Holy Spirit was not a part of their life. And you say, well, Lon, how can that be? I mean, I thought when a person believes in Jesus, when they become a true follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit immediately comes into their life. Well, that's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And if anyone does not have the Holy Spirit in their life, That person does not belong to Christ. But the Bible says these men didn't believe. They were disciples, yet they didn't have the Holy Spirit in their life yet, meaning they had not completed the deal. They were not truly born again yet. So you say, well, yeah, how do you explain that? Well, friends, the best explanation is that in the early days of the Christian faith, before the New Testament was written, it took a while for the Apostle Paul and the other apostles to spread the full and complete message about Jesus throughout the Roman world. While that was happening, pockets of people could be found who had incomplete information about Jesus. They had enough information to be attracted to Jesus, but they didn't have enough information to close the deal for salvation and eternal life. And apparently, that's what we have with these men here in Acts 19. They had fully believed what they knew about Jesus, and what did they know? Well, they knew about John the Baptist's baptism. Maybe they knew a little bit about the earthly life of Jesus, but they didn't know about the cross. They didn't know about the resurrection. They didn't know about the Spirit of God coming in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. And so therefore, they had believed in what they had heard. They just hadn't heard the whole story. Paul's going to fix that. Verse 4. And Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told people, John did, to believe in the one who was coming after him, namely Jesus. And then Paul went on to tell him about the cross, to tell him about the resurrection, to tell him about the ascension of Christ and the Spirit of God coming. And on hearing all of this, these men were baptized now into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. Whatever exact theological deficiency these men had, it's clear from the Bible that Paul fixed it. And they accepted the full message that Paul gave them, the complete message of Jesus. They believed it. They were born again, and the Holy Spirit entered their lives in power. Now, that's as far as we want to go in the passage for this morning, because we have a very important question that it's time to ask. So, are y'all ready? Even the most stoic among you now, I want to hear you. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three.
So what?
Yeah. You say, Lon, so what? Say, that's wonderful. What difference does this make in my 21st century world? Well, friends, isn't it interesting that the very first thing that Paul asked these guys about when he met them was whether they had the Holy Spirit in their lives? And the reason for that is because Paul understood the central, the key, and the strategic role that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives as followers of Christ. You know, I have a 1996 Dodge Caravan that we use to transport my daughter Jill around in, and it has 125,000 miles on it. And a week or so ago, it began blowing this fuse that was under the dashboard whenever you'd start the car. Well, the fuse controlled the signal lights, and I figured, well, that's no big deal. We can drive without signal lights. And then it controlled the dashboard lights, and I said, well, you know, you kind of know how fast you're going even in the dark. And then, but for Washington, D.C., it controlled one absolutely essential piece of equipment, the air conditioner. That's right. So I had to get it fixed. I took it into the repair shop, and when I went to pick it up, the guy hands me the bill, and it was over $800. And I took a deep breath, and I said, wow. That seems like an awful lot of money just to fix a fuse. Well, I think I rubbed the mechanic a little bit wrong when I said that. And you say, why do you say that? Well, because let me tell you what he said to me. He said, well, then next time, why don't you just lay hands on the van like Benny Hinn and ask the Holy Spirit to heal it? That's why I think I rubbed him a little wrong. Well, now we all know the Holy Spirit is not in the business of fixing fuses in vans. We know that's not the work of the Holy Spirit. But what is the work of the Holy Spirit? That's what we want to talk about. What is his job? What is his ministry in our world? Well, before we talk about what the Holy Spirit does, let's first make sure we understand who the Holy Spirit is, because that's important. Two things we need to know. First of all, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He's not an impersonal force. The Bible tells us, Acts 5, he can be lied to. Acts 7, he can be resisted. Acts 10, he can be obeyed. Romans 8, he prays for us before God the Father. Ephesians 4, he has feelings that can be hurt and wounded and grieved. Now, folks, you cannot grieve an it. You cannot hurt the feelings of an impersonal force. The Bible is clear that the Holy Spirit is a person. And the other thing we need to know is that not only is he a person, but he is also God. The Holy Spirit is as much God as is God the Father and God the Son, the Lord Jesus. All the attributes of God that the Bible attributes to God, the Bible also attributes to the Holy Spirit. All the works of God that the Bible attributes to God, the same Bible attributes those works to the Holy Spirit. For example, Psalm 139, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Isaiah 40, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. 1 Corinthians 2, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God that only God knows. Genesis chapter 1 tells us that the Holy Spirit participated in creation, which only God did. 1 Peter 2 tells us that the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the writers of the Bible, a work that we clearly know belongs to God. Luke chapter 1 tells us that the Holy Spirit was the one responsible for the virgin birth of Jesus, a work that we know only God could do. Matthew 28, 19, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Notice that name is singular because there's only one divine being, but he exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is why at the Council of Constantinople, 381 AD, 150 evangelical bishops got together, and part of what they said is, and I quote, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the life-giving one, who is to be glorified equally with the Father and the Son. Now that is who the Holy Spirit is. He is a person, and he is God himself. Now, what exactly does the Holy Spirit do? Friends, the Bible teaches that in the church age where we live today, this is almost exclusively the age of the Holy Spirit's ministry. To put it another way, almost all the work of God that is going on today in our world is being done directly not by God the Father, not by God the Son, but by God the Holy Spirit. To try to run a church today without the Holy Spirit, that's craziness. To try to reach out and lead people to Christ without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that's ludicrous. To try to live a life that honors God and pleases God without the Holy Spirit's involvement, that's impossible. And so here at McLean Bible Church, we understand trying to run the ministry of God without the Holy Spirit's like trying to run a car without gasoline. We don't minimize the Holy Spirit's ministry. We accentuate it. We build it up. And so what is it that the Holy Spirit does? Well, I can't give you everything, but I picked some of them out just to give you a smattering of some of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our world today. Number one, the Holy Spirit, number one, is the one who removes people's spiritual blindness so they realize their need for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelieving people so they cannot see the glory of Jesus. However, verse 6 says, but the Holy Spirit made his light shine into our hearts as followers of Christ so that now we can see God's glory in the person of Jesus Christ. Friends, when we pray for somebody, a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker, a loved one, to come to Christ, what we are really praying for is for the Holy Spirit to lift their spiritual blindness, to remove the spiritual scales off of their eyes so that they can see and realize their deep need of Jesus Christ. Hey, if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, let me tell you who to thank that you're a believer today. You say, I know who to thank. I thank my mama. Well, no, I'm sure your mama's a wonderful person. And your mama might have prayed for you, but let me tell you who to thank You better thank the Holy Spirit, because whether you were 3 years old or whether you were 33 years old, there was a point in your life where the Holy Spirit, with His unique ministry, reached into your life, removed the spiritual blindness and the scales from your heart, so that suddenly, for the first time in your life, you understood that you needed Jesus Christ. This is the unique ministry of the Holy Spirit. Nobody ever comes to Christ without Him doing this ministry in their heart. If you're a believer today, you need to thank the Holy Spirit you're a believer today. May I say that if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus in a real and personal way, this is really the issue. The man who led me to Christ said to me, Nalan, before you open the Bible and read it every night, when I was in the process of coming to Christ, and today I would say, before you come to church, he said, you should pray this prayer. God, if you're real, and if Jesus is who He said He is, remove the blindness from my eyes and help me see that. Now, friends, listen, if God's not real and Jesus is not who He said it is, there's no danger in praying that prayer, because you're praying it into thin air. It's not going to mean a thing. But if God is real and Jesus is who He said He is, then that's the key issue, is for God to remove this blindness that every human being comes in the world with, spiritual blindness, so that you can see and understand that you need Jesus. And that's what we need to pray for other people that we want to see come to Christ. That's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit, second of all, is the one who brings new birth to people who come to Christ. Remember, Jesus said to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, you must be born again. And then immediately He said, you must be born by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives the new birth when we give our life to Christ. Number three, the Holy Spirit indwells every genuine follower of Christ. Jesus said, John 14:17, the Holy Spirit has been with you. He said this to Peter and James and John. He's been with you. But after I'm resurrected and go back to heaven and Acts 2 happens, He will be in you. Number four, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us assurance of our salvation every day. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children. Hey, as a follower of Christ, you know that sense that you know that you know that you know that you're a follower of Christ? You know that in your heart? Well, where do you think that comes from? Friends, that comes from the Holy Spirit's ministry directly to your spirit, saying to you, you belong to me. Number five, the Holy Spirit is the one who illuminates our minds so that we can understand the Bible. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2. The person without the Spirit cannot grasp truth that comes from God. For it is foolishness to him, and he cannot understand it. But we who are followers of Christ have received God's Spirit so that we can understand the truths that are freely given us by God. Have you ever met anybody who says to you, an unbeliever, who says, you know, I read the Bible, and I read it and read it and read it. I can't make anything out of this. It's like gobbledygook in here. This stuff's like hieroglyphics to me. It makes no sense at all. And then that person comes to Christ. And as soon as they come to Christ, they're like, oh, you would not believe. Did you know this was in here? Oh, my gosh. Why did you tell me this was in here? Oh, my gosh. What happened to them? You say they came off their medicine. No. No, they didn't come off their medicine. The Holy Spirit came into their life. And the Holy Spirit suddenly began illuminating their heart and illuminating their mind, so for the first time in their life, they can understand spiritual truth. Friend, if you have a quiet time and you read your Bible, and as a result of reading your Bible, what you read in here thrills your heart and gives you goosebumps and changes your life, let me tell you why. It's because the Spirit of God is illuminating your heart and mind so you can understand spiritual truth. That's His job. Number six. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us spiritual gifts to serve God and then empowers us to use those gifts effectively. 1 Corinthians 12. Number seven, the Holy Spirit is the one who comforts us in all the trials of life. John chapter 14. When we're low and we're hurting, it's the Holy Spirit who wraps His arms around us and says, it's going to be okay. I'm here with you. It's going to be fine. Number eight, the Holy Spirit is the one who prays for us when we're so distraught that we don't even know what to pray for. Romans 8. Number 9, the Holy Spirit is the one who restrains evil in our world, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us, so that the work of God can move forward in this world. Hey, friends, thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our world and in our lives. I've just given you a smattering of what the Holy Spirit does. But I got one more, and I think this last one is the coolest of all. You say, well, these are all cool. Yeah, but this is the coolest. Number 10, the Holy Spirit is God's down payment on us as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, we all know what a down payment is. A down payment is a deposit that somebody makes as a promise that they're going to follow through on the rest of the deal, right? Well, listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Bible says that God sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a down payment. Ephesians 1, verse 13. After you believed in Jesus Christ, you were sealed, branded, the word literally means, with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is God's down payment, guaranteeing our inheritance as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, what inheritance is it that the giving of the Holy Spirit to us as a down payment is guaranteed? Well, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, we know that he who raised Jesus will raise us also so that our mortality may be swallowed up by eternal life. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose, what very purpose? The very purpose of going to heaven. The very purpose of having our mortal lives swallowed up in eternal life and being raised to live forever with Jesus like Jesus was raised. The one who prepared us for this purpose is God, watch, who gave us the Holy Spirit as a down payment. The indwelling Holy Spirit is your guarantee and my guarantee that we are, as followers of Christ, certain to get eternal life when we leave this world. That we are certain to be raised up to live eternally with Jesus forevermore. Because friends, when God makes a down payment, he takes that very seriously. He doesn't make a down payment unless he's planning to come back and finish the deal. Now, I want to talk 2 weeks from today about one more ministry of the Holy Spirit. Just one more. But that is so important. And that is the role that the Holy Spirit plays in you and me living the Christian life. Because you see, I believe 90% or more of people today who are followers of Christ were taught to live the Christian life incorrectly. They were taught to live it wrong. And as a result, we look around and we see all these other people talking about their wonderful experience with God and the victories that we're having. And we're not having those kind of victories. And so we begin to say, well, what's wrong with me? Well, friends, the answer is nothing's wrong with you. Somebody taught you how to live the Christian life incorrectly. We're going to teach you how to live it right. And at the center and the heart of living the Christian life correctly, biblically, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So if your motto is, hey, if I'm a Christian, how come I can't live the Christian life? You don't want to miss 2 weeks from today. Come on back. We'll talk about it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks for talking to us today about God the Holy Spirit. Thanks for reminding us today of all the incredible things that he does in our world. But Lord, the most special of all is that he is your down payment, proof that we are branded and we belong to you, and that you're going to finish the deal you started. That eternal life is going to be ours because you made a deposit and you're going to finish it. And God, encourage our lives today with the knowledge that our time here is just temporary. Our real home is with the Lord Jesus in heaven. And there is absolutely no doubt, not even a sliver, that that's going to happen for those of us who are followers of Christ. Because you gave us the down payment of the Holy Spirit to reassure us it's true. Encourage our hearts with this. Lift up our spirits, God. Help us go out this week and live in a way that we bring honor to you in light of all you've done for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?